When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, you about to go to this party.
Yeah. This is a party.
Oh, this is a party?
This is a party.
This is quite a party.
All right, folks, come on. This is a party.
After all, this is a party.
Go out there and party.
This is a party, boys. Where's the chips and beer?
2000 party.
The Mixed Morning Fix with John Monroe and Jackson starts now.
Oh, that's right. It is a party in here.
Where is the party?
Did you feel
I
want
to go.
Do you guys feel the heat?
I'm feeling something. Perhaps indigestion, but it could be excitement.
I saw you flailing away on the microphone in the other studio. I said, oh no, someone put a wallet between Jackson's teeth. He's going to swallow his tongue. But you are.
I just record commercials, and I do it very animatedly.
My Lord, you do.
Yeah. Have you never seen me record an ad-lib before? No. I put some passion into it. I put some feeling into my ad-libs.
Monroe, I don't know if you turned around, but I mean, it looked like Jackson was getting strangled by an invisible person, like the way he was flailing and jerking around.
When do Jackson's movements ever suggest otherwise?
That's a good point.
Yeah, when am I ever calm? That's my question to you.
Maybe I've just never paid attention before.
Maybe not. But I was talking about Legends Boxing, and you can't talk about Legends Boxing without boxing.
Oh, yeah. You got to get amped up for
sure.
That.
Right. Take it on the year, 2019.
He's so passionate.
That's
over
right.
there. Hey, the biggest news of the morning, 42 days until Valentine's Day. There it is. That's the...
Just stop.
Woo! Why are you like... Why is it always a holiday countdown with you?
I don't know. You know what's funny also is like, we don't even like... My wife and I don't really do holidays.
Yeah.
But I love counting them down. For other people, I feel like other people get excited about it.
All right.
Let me just
do you get excited? Will you text us and tell us if you get excited?
I really don't think anybody gets excited for Valentine's Day unless you're in a new relationship. If you've been with somebody for a while, there's a lot of pressure to get these presents and show this person you love them, and then you got to wait 2 hours to go to dinner and...
See, now, I would think it would be the opposite, that when you're in a new relationship, you don't like Valentine's Day because of the pressure. But when you're in an old relationship, the pressure's gone. Every day is Valentine's Day. Why do you both look
like... I'm sorry. Did you just say that with a straight face? Excuse you.
Fine, whatever. Monroe, your husband is sick. You got him the cold?
Oh, my gosh. So the world is going to stop turning today. Okay, uh-huh. Just so you know,
yes.
My husband's sick. And...
No.
Not everything is not right with the world. It's you guys are such babies.
Men are babies.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
He's texting me last night while I'm trying to go to sleep. By the way, you got me sick. I don't feel good. Just over and over and over again.
Were you like in a different room? Is that why
I'm
wondering why he was texting you?
Well, because I have to go to bed early.
Super early, yeah.
Yeah. So he's downstairs watching TV and like, you know, while you're trying to sleep peacefully, just know that I'm down here dying.
I know. I'm the same way.
You're a baby when you're sick.
Yeah, I really am. I watch Jen sometimes when she has to get the kids ready and go to work and she's not feeling well. And I'm like, wow, good on you. And the moment I'm sick, I'm calling in. I just want you guys to know now, I am not a hero. I will not be coming in here with the sniffles.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I get it.
But stay home. I'm going to binge watch some TV.
I go everywhere on my deathbed. I don't care.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to slow down this train.
Right.
So I can't sympathize with you.
I know, that's the problem. Neither can my wife, neither can Monroe now. So really,
well, I understand your wife. She's just like, get out of bed, you lazy monster.
Right, yeah. I know what you do for a living. I've done the math. You don't do a lot. She actually asked me that. We had to go last night. Our new puppy, Buddy, who's just 9 weeks old, ended up with his cough. And we had to go to the vet last night.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think actually when we took him to the vet just a few days ago for his first round of shots, he caught kennel cough because they don't have like an
at
immune.
At the vet?
Yeah. So we're driving there. And I don't know how it got started, but Jen turned to me and she goes, what exactly do you do with your day?
Oh, my gosh.
And I have to tell you, I didn't have a good answer.
Listen, I think that's just the male in general because I literally asked my husband that. My son was sick just before Christmas.
Yeah. Okay,
and he's like, got the kids off to school. I can't take him to Instacare. He's got a fever. He sent him to school anyway.
Yeah.
So then I had to go pick him up from school, take him to Instacare. And that night I looked at him like, what do you do?
What is your function in this household?
I don't know the answer. I was like, I don't know, but somehow the day goes by. I don't know what I sat in my office. I watched some great videos on IMDb and YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Every time I'm on YouTube or Netflix, I'm like, oh, it's research.
Right.
That's what I'm doing with my day. I'm researching.
It's greatest excuse
I have said
ever.
That before. My husband's like, get off Facebook. I'm like, well, I gotta stay current, babe.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
That's true.
Let's kick off this Thursday with a pocket full of sunshine from Monroe.
I liked this story because it's just kind of funny.
Okay.
So a Dutch astronaut recently called 911 while orbiting Earth.
Why? What happened?
I know, like,
what are you going to do?
Do you need help, sir?
Yeah.
He was 60 years old. He was trying to call NASA. So he had to dial 9 to get the outside line, right? You know how you
sure.
have to dial 9.
Like we do
that
here.
That happens in space too.
I know, right? Huh. So, and then he had to dial 11. He was actually supposed to dial 9 and then 011. So, yeah. He said he got an email that said, did you call 911?
So you're telling me that this 60-year-old astronaut is making phone mistakes like my Uncle Ken does when he's trying to call people?
Yeah, pretty much. And I just think it's hilarious. Like, imagine the 911 operator, because 911's here in the U.S., right?
Right, yeah.
And it's this Dutch guy trying to say that he's in space, you know? This person's probably like, oh, we got a serial killer!
And yet that astronaut probably makes 6 figures.
<Stop it. laughs> He's an astronaut!
Yeah, but he doesn't know how to use a phone. Let that sink in.
Jackson, let's get to the showbiz beat.
Let's do it. All right, the Daily Star claims that Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are officially expecting their fourth child, and they are doing it through a surrogate.
Ugh.
What's the ugh for?
Four?
Why not?
Now they're just being greedy.
I don't know. Those two together in the first place didn't sit right with me. And then they had a kid, and then they had another one, and another one, and...
Who do you see Kim Kardashian with?
I liked her with the dumb athlete.
Oh, okay.
I really did.
Here's what I'll say about that, though. You know those two people aren't raising those kids, right?
Yes.
It's some very nice domestic workers.
I think they have two nannies
per child.
Per child.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That is the life right there, isn't it?
I just wonder how much the kids even know mommy and daddy.
I'll bet they don't.
Yeah, like,
I'll bet they only know Kim Kardashian when she needs some Instagram content. Honestly, I mean that.
Auntie Kim, can I have some candy?
Plus, you know that girl sells those baby pictures for so much money.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, rumors were going around that Olivia Newton-John was like on her deathbed
because
she's dealing with cancer.
Yeah,
and that rumors have been circling everywhere that she's like knocking on doors death. Well, her representative, Toddie Goldsmith, came out and said that you can rest assured she's not going anywhere. She's in really good health, and whoever started this rumor is a sicko.
Oh, okay.
Like, she is not messing around.
Every once in a while, though, you just get those celebrity death rumors. Like,
right. Meanwhile, another story came out today that 96-year-old Betty White still goes to a Santa Monica diner every day and drinks a bunch of Grey Goose. And the waiter that they talked to said that her friends have had to walk her out sometimes because she has a little too much Grey Goose.
Oh my gosh. She's the cutest granny ever.
She is the best.
She's the best.
Yeah.
So we have Olivia Newton-John over here, but then we've got 96-year-old Betty White, who will never die.
No.
Because she's an angel. The Coachella lineup was officially announced. The headliners include Childish Gambino.
Yeah.
Tame Impala, who I don't know. I have no idea. Which is crazy to me because under Tame Impala, they've got big names. They've got Kid Cudi, Solange, Weezer, and they're all playing the same day, and yet Tame Impala is headlining.
It's an X96 band.
It's a, they're an alternative band.
Yeah, hold on a second. Let me find some for you.
Tame Impala.
Yeah.
All right. And then Sunday, April 14th, Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's going to be so good. Other acts that I'm really interested in, Janelle Monáe, my number one, my boo, my everything.
You are such a big Janelle Monáe
fan. I am
obsessed. Yeah.
It's such a problem. Janelle Monáe and Lizzo, they're both performing at Coachella. Love them both. DJ Snake, Diplo, The 1975. It is a really good lineup this year.
All right, you want to hear some Tame Impala?
Yes, please.
All right, here you go. Definitely Tame.
Definitely alternative.
Yeah.
It's like a pastel Impala.
I feel like I'm... I feel like during this show, I'll just like kind of stand there and sway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Probably look sullen the entire time.
Yeah.
Like if it could
raise
rain.
A lighter.
Yeah. Or maybe just like a little drizzle on me. Like, and I can just think about life choices. I might bring a window that I can stare out.
It's almost like the Beatles if the Beatles were not good. That is the sharpest beat.
All right. Thank you, Jackson. I'm sure you all remember this Weezer song.
I'm sorry. You can stop it right there because that is a Toto song.
You're exactly right.
Thank you.
You know, though, I was shocked how many people didn't know it was a remake.
No.
Seriously?
Yeah.
People are not good.
Where people are like, oh, it's just a Weezer song. It's like, well, no, it was done by another band.
It's an exact
Weezer.
Remake of the exact same song.
Like chord for chord.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
I think it's a big joke on Weezer. I think they're going to come out years from now and say, oh, yeah, it was just Toto.
Do you think it's a Jimmy Kimmel thing? You know, Kimmel sometimes he'll do like the long game where he'll do like a viral video and wait 2 years and then be like, yeah that was me.
I made that up.
Yeah. So you're telling me this is a Kimmel bit.
Yep.
Well, there's a man who decided to take this Toto Africa song or Weezer Africa song and put his own spin on it.
Okay.
By playing Sweet Potatoes and Pumpkins. Yes, he carved sweet potatoes and pumpkins into musical instruments.
No.
And created this magic.
No.
Oh, that's amazing.
What's the whistle? What vegetable is the whistle recorder sounding thing?
I believe it's one of the sweet potatoes that's hollowed out.
You know what you could do? You could go right now to mix1051utah.com. You could search keyword vegetable because about a year ago, I wrote a whole story about a band in Austria that plays exclusively vegetable instruments.
Really?
And their songs are amazing.
As good as this one?
Yo, yeah.
Really?
Oh, they're great.
No kidding.
And they sit there and they carve it. Part of their show is they carve their instruments and then they play them for their concert.
Okay, I would go do that.
Yeah. It's fun.
All right, so that's up online at mix1051utah.com. Let's get you in the right mood with a pocket full of sunshine.
So Christmas morning, sweet little Shiloh, she gets an Instant Pot. She's all excited. Ugh, if you don't have an Instant Pot yet, okay, you don't know how exciting this is.
Is an Instant Pot the thing you pour in your nostrils and it clears out your...
That's a neti pot, John. Yeah, the Instant
Pot
is the pressure cooker, the slow cooker, electric thing.
Don't pour that
thing
up your nose. That'd be terrible.
The Instant Pot is awesome.
Got it.
You need one in your life. So she actually goes to open it and take it out of the box when she finds out it has a little extra thing in it, a ring. But it wasn't for her.
Oh.
Sadly, there wasn't a guy standing behind her like, will you marry me on one knee? No, It was obviously somebody else's ring. It was an older ring. So she contacted Instant Pot, like, okay, there was a ring in my box. And they they had to go through their process. So they were going to send her a bunch of forms. She ended up just posting it on Facebook like, hey, I got this new Instant Pot and there's this ring. And she found the owner of the ring.
So, no way.
Yeah. So her name was Joanne. She said that she was at Walmart with her husband and they couldn't decide what size Instant Pot they wanted. So they started looking in the boxes to see how big they were. And then just a few minutes later, she realized she lost her ring. So they were looking all over the Walmart and the store.
Off?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Man.
Looking all over for it. And she found it just a few days before her 20th wedding anniversary.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah. So I now I guess that. The two are friends.
That's perfect. As we get to Jackson's Showbiz Beat.
Let's do it. I know John's been pretty excited for a Beverly Hills 90210 reboot.
Oh, I grew up on Beverly Hills 90210. Yeah. I even watched the actual reboot where they had like Silver and the second generation that was there. Monroe, were you
I kind of fell off.
You fell off of like when they went to college, you fell off?
Yeah.
When Tiffany Amber Thiessen joined Beverly Hills 90210.
You know why? Because I don't know what it was about her, but you know how some celebrities you just don't really vibe with?
Yeah.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen was one of mine.
Really? As Kelly Kapowski or as Valerie on 90210?
As Kelly. And so I never watched Saved by the Bell because of that. I'm over it now. Now I think she's great, and I've gone back and watched Saved by the Bell and all that.
Right.
But yeah, I fell off.
Tell me, Jackson.
Well, let me tell you about this Beverly Hills 90210 reboot. It's actually not a reboot. It's going to be a mockumentary dramedy where they're going to get former cast members Jason Priestley, Tori Spelling, Ian Ziering, and Brian Austin Green to play themselves trying to get a 90210 revival produced. Which sounds hysterical.
Okay.
That ruined everything for me.
No. Made it way better.
Like, where's Luke Perry?
Luke Perry's on Riverdale.
Yeah, he's busy.
I know,
busy.
So he's not... Yep.
He's
nope,
busy
you
being
don't
hot on Riverdale,
and
so...
And Tiffany Amber Thiessen said she won't do any... She's so bitter about all the shows that made her successful. Like, she won't do a Saved by the Bell. She won't do a 90210.
I know, and that's the thing. It's just like, what are you doing, Kelly Kapowski,
I think she's
nowadays?
On, like, an FX show. Like Blue Bloods or one of those.
Okay, sure.
Right.
But like, I don't know. Don't forget where you came from. That's all I'm saying.
I'm
I like
you.
When people are cool about those things. The producers of the Netflix movie Bird Box. Yesterday we talked about the Bird Box challenge.
Yes.
How people are going getting blindfolded and trying to do regular household tasks.
I saw on our Instagram Insta story up at Mix 105.1 Utah, Kevin Cruz was doing it through The Office yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Netflix is telling people not to do it.
No. All right.
Because long story short, people are getting injured and they're like, hey, be really careful. And the real concern came when a guy blindfolded himself and his kids and walked his children into a wall.
Oh, good. Oh.
So they saw that video and they're like, hey, guys, let's just leave it to Sandra Bullock. She's better at it than you. Also,
you know, off of that, though, I was thinking about this with the challenge. I can't tell you the last time I was blindfolded.
It's scary.
Like, when was the last time you were blindfolded?
I don't know.
As a kid playing...
like Pin the Tail on the Donkey,
that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... actually, I think I was when we did a pinata.
Okay. That's a lot
of trust. A couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? There's that government agency upstairs in our building that teaches blind people how to walk and navigate city streets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We should just have them teach us how to do it blindfolded.
That would be fun.
Yeah, because there's that scene in Bird Box where Sandra Bullock's teaching the kids how to walk around and see things without their sight. It's really cool. It's a good movie. Also, there was a scene apparently in Bird Box that got deleted where you actually see the monsters. Because if you don't know, throughout the whole movie, it's the whole premise is if you see these monsters, it's so horrible it makes you want to die.
Right.
Well... they showed the monster in one of these scenes, and Sandra Bullock said it was so stupid.
Yeah.
She goes, she watched the scene, she's like looking over at it, and it's basically like a big, long snake, but it's a baby to her, because she's afraid of snakes and babies. So she was like, it was so silly. Boo. It would have ruined it. I'm so glad they deleted
it. That's like it.
Yeah.
The spider at the end, you're just like, what?
Ruins the whole thing. Yeah.
No way. I loved it. It was so good. That is the Showbiz Beat.
All right. This just came through the wire. Captain Daryl Dragon passed away.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's like three in the first 3 days.
Yeah.
He had Mean Gene.
Yeah.
From WWF.
Uh-huh.
You have a Super Dave Osborne yesterday and Captain Daryl Dragon.
Who's Super Dave Osborne? I'm sorry. Is that not okay to ask?
He's young. He's young.
No, I will not allow him to.
That's fine. It's okay.
Right. Super Dave Osborne.
Super Dave Osborne. Curb Your Enthusiasm. All right, we're not going to get into this. Right when Jackson was doing the Showbiz Beat, you were talking about Sandra Bullock not liking the monster that they chose for Bird Box.
Uh-huh.
Because at one point they were going to show the monster. And I just was reading this article about it, saying that when they decided to have the scene with the monster showing up, it's towards the end. Sandra Bullock said, hey, don't show it to me ahead of time. I want to be in the moment, and I just want to react to the scene.
Oh, and she was underwhelmed.
So she's there, and it's like growling, and she's supposed to turn, and that's where the monster is. And she says, it's just this long, green, fat baby staring at her. And she says she started laughing so hard, it felt like a Saturday Night Live sketch.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's like the claw.
Right, yeah.
It's the claw coming at you.
And I just think about the poor guy who spent hours building this monster.
Just to be laughed at.
Just to have like the whole crew laughing.
Laughed at.
Right, exactly. Like, poor guy.
Oh, yeah. That's so embarrassing.
Right?
Yeah, but you know what I would do if I was in that situation? I would just put like a Build-A-Bear there and just make it a joke.
It's too late then. All right, let's get to choose the news.
Let's do it. It's all powered by YouCare. It is inversion season, but don't worry. There's some stuff that you can do about it. Try transit, carpool, or trip chain to show that you care. Visit youcare.org for other ways that you can improve our air quality.
If you're just getting back into the swing of things, maybe you've forgotten how choose the news works. The three of us, myself, John, Monroe, or Jackson, we all have a story that we want to share with you, but only one of us gets that opportunity, and you get a pick. You choose the news, and our way of saying thank you for just voting and being a part of it, we'll put you into a drawing for tickets to the advanced screening of The Upside. That's the movie with Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart. I mentioned yesterday, Kevin Hart getting some Oscar buzz for this role in The Upside. So, Jackson, what's your story?
Well, this just might be the most Florida thing that's ever happened.
Monroe.
Most anticipated movies of 2019.
And I've got Girl Scout cookies are here with a brand new option. Call us, text us. Either way, just choose the news. Let's see, this is a tough choice today. I'm going to vote for John. He needs a win. He hasn't had one yet this year. I don't think I had one like the last 2 weeks of last year.
I was going to say, every vote you get is like a sympathy vote.
Pity votes. Pity votes.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Jamie says, love you guys. Going with Monroe.
Yeah.
Let's see. I walked out. I missed the votes, but Jackson will have my vote. When in doubt, go for Jackson. He doesn't fail like John.
Well, that's a person who knows.
That hurts. Yeah. I mean, it's not wrong, but it still hurts.
Yeah, the truth is painful.
I am honored. Thank you.
Sharice says, three of my kids want Girl Scout cookies. Two of us want the Florida one, and the other three want the 2018 movies. That is a big car right there.
Yeah.
Hi, Mix. Who's this?
This is Casey.
Hey, Casey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Did you have a good holiday?
I had surgery a couple weeks ago, so it's more been on the couch, but it's a good holiday, I guess.
Are you recovering?
I am. Okay. It was on my foot, and I get to start walking on it, so that's good news.
All right. Good news there. Well, go ahead and choose the news, Casey.
I'm going to go with Monroe today.
Yeah.
All right, then. Perfect. Your vote is in, and we'll put you in the drawing for these tickets to The Upside.
Great, thanks so much.
Let's see, this says, wow, I usually go for John, but this is my first time ever voting for Monroe.
Yes! I gotcha. See, I grow on people. I say that all the time. I'm a grower.
That's right. I vote for Jackson because we can never have enough Florida stories. Ryan says, I'll give you a pity vote, John. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate that. Well, the winner today with 53% of the votes is Monroe!
Yay!
Yay! People like me. Jackson, you gotta keep it together.
I'm doing great.
Okay. Most anticipated movies of 2019. You guys got any guesses?
It's gotta be Avengers Infinity War Part D.
Endgame, okay.
Endgame. That's what I meant.
Get excited, John.
Yeah,
Avengers
I'm pumped.
Endgame. Yes, it is definitely on the list. Probably the most.
Also, it's not Part D. It's like Part Quattro or whatever.
Yeah, if you take all the Avengers movies together,
that's
too
many Avengers.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel, a lot of superhero movies, Spider-Man, Toy Story 4.
You know, so we were at the movie, what did we see? Wreck-It Ralph, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and they had a trailer for Toy Story 4. And I gotta be honest, I'm not excited about it.
No.
I felt the same way about 3, though. I remember I was like, I don't think this is gonna be good. And then I went to see it, and I was like,
and it was the most perfect movie ever made.
Yes, it was amazing.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Live-action Lion King. Live-action Aladdin?
Yeah.
Which one are you more excited about? Live-action Lion King or live-action Aladdin?
Live-action Lion King. I've got three words for you. The first word, Beyonce. The other two words, Childish Gambino.
Okay.
So take that.
Right. I'm excited for Aladdin because I'm hoping they're going to do something a little bit different with the story.
I'm with you. I think Will Smith will be a great genie.
I think so, too. Yeah. People were so mean to him when those photos came out. But I think he looked great.
What do you want?
So
it's not a cartoon.
That's they're like, well, he's not blue. It's just like, let it go.
Right.
He's not
on.
A blue person.
I thought he was too Sinbad for me. I don't like the look, but I think he's going to do good.
Yeah.
Jumanji sequel. I
oh,
cannot
cool.
wait for this movie.
I did not know they were doing one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing another one.
A Jack Black,
do it again.
Kevin Hart.
Yes.
Are they both coming back?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I'm in.
Okay, right?
Yeah,
it's
going to
be amazing. Some of the most anticipated horror films. It,
yep.
Chapter 2.
Yes.
Yes. I can't wait. You think I'm kidding? But like, this is the kind of movie that back in the day I would camp out for a week to get into the premiere.
Really?
I loved it.
Okay. Pet Sematary and Annabelle 3.
Pet Sematary. With John Lithgow.
Martha.
Yeah. You don't want to go up there. That's all the damn burial ground. It looks so good. He was an excellent choice.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Yeah. So that's what I've got.
All right. Cool. We'll get the other two stories up online at mix1051utah.com. We also tell them each and every day in our podcast. So if you have not listened, today's a great day to do that. Just search on your favorite podcast provider, The Mix Morning Fix. Dave Colley is here. He is downstairs trapped outside and it is cold. So we should probably go grab him. The host of Cold, the podcast, which follows the story of Josh and Susan Powell. It is a fantastic podcast. And we're going to talk to him next. It was the beginning of December when my wife, Jen, said, hey, everyone in our office is listening to this podcast and I need you to get involved so we can talk about it at dinner. And I was like, I don't know. I got a lot of podcasts on my plate right now. I'm not sure if I can add another one in. And she's like, no, it's about Susan and Josh Powell. Will you please just take a listen? It's called Cold. And so I went and did so, and I became obsessed with it. Then I came back here, and I started talking to Jackson and Monroe. I said, I need you guys to download Cold so we can start talking about it while we're playing Ariana Grande. And they went, and they did just that. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, it grew like a wildfire here in the building.
Everyone's listening to it.
And we're
here.
All obsessed with it. And we're very lucky to have Dave Colley in studio, the host of Cold, the podcast. Hey, Dave.
Hey, morning, guys. How you doing?
Dave, I gotta ask you this. Jackson mentioned to me that it started 3 years ago. Maybe you mentioned that in a podcast and I forgot already about it, but like, where did this whole idea of coming up with a Susan Josh Powell story like originate?
Yeah, it was just personal curiosity, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah.
So to give you a little idea where I came from, I worked as a journalist for like 15 years. And so I was covering this case when it originally happened. And I just, all along the way, had all these questions. Why did certain things happen the way they did? Why did the police do what they did?
Yeah.
You know, who was Susan really? Like, we never really got to know her background. And when the case went cold, it provided kind of an opportunity to get a peek behind the curtain a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I thought, just because I'm curious, I'm going to start looking at it to try to answer my own questions. And the more I read, the more I learned about the case and Josh and Susan and some of these weird family dynamics and things. It just seemed like the only way to properly share that story was to go for broke, go long form it, and really tell it in a very extended fashion. The way, I couldn't do piece by piece.
Uh-huh. So when you started creating this podcast, every week there's been a new episode, so we're not finished yet. I don't know how many more you have planned.
We get that question a lot. Yeah. I'm not sure, to be perfectly honest. Yeah.
Okay. But did you kind of storyline it where you knew episode one was going to be about this, about where they were from Seattle, and you kind of had the idea of what you were going to do, at least?
Yeah, so there was a bit of a roadmap, and some of that changed, even up until just a few weeks before we launched.
Yeah.
Because I've been working to get some of these original recordings you hear and things and interviews, and a lot of that didn't come until very late in the game. And so some of those ideas even shifted. But certainly, I mean, you've heard, these audio journals that Josh had as a kid that had never been out there, right?
They're so creepy.
And so when you hear a lot of that and you're like, wow, how do I build a story around this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we my boss, Cheryl Worsley, and I, we sat down and kind of game planned and said, look, I think this makes sense for an episode, this makes sense for an episode, and split it up that way.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the audio. I think one of the most gripping things about the podcast Cold is the audio that you have in each episode.
Yeah.
It gives this flavor.
And these characters, we've been hearing all these stories in the news for so long that it almost seems like they're not real at times. And then you hear this audio and you're like, no way.
Susan was a real person. She was a person that had kids and she was just a regular Utah mom.
And Josh was really that disturbed.
Uh-huh.
And Steven was really that disturbed.
What was it like for the first time listening to all this audio from you? Like, there, early on in the episodes, you have some audio of Steven, I think this was actually a journal, talking about his daughter in a very inappropriate way.
Yeah, it's, man, some of this material is really dark.
Yeah.
And it's a big ask, right, to have a listener come with you into that space. And so I try to juggle maintaining Susan's privacy and respecting who she was with also revealing, look, these are the people that we're dealing with, and these are the attitudes that they had about family and things. So that you're being true to the facts of the case, but you're also not going back and re-victimizing Susan. My personal reaction in listening to a lot of that is the same as I'm sure anybody listening to the podcast, shock.
Yeah.
Right on the first
thing.
But I will tell you, like, a lot of it's, and you wouldn't expect this, a lot of it's just boring. Like Josh's audio journals, you get hours and hours of him talking about, today I went to the
I can only imagine.
And you're like, who records this stuff? Mm-hmm.
Yes. It definitely is peeking inside the brain of someone who is not all there. He feels disturbed because I feel like a normal person doesn't document their life in that fashion. Like, you might write that sort of thing in a journal or like when you're young on a Facebook status, but you don't record your voice and then go back and listen to yourself talk like that.
Well, and with Steve, it's so funny because, you know, we all take for granted that nowadays we're all shooting video all the time on our phones. But this is, even though it's not that long ago, you know, 15 years or so ago, throwing your camcorder on a tripod and shooting video of yourself was kind of a weird thing at the time.
Yes, it is.
And then what he's talking about makes it even more
weird. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, and then so there's a part in Cold. I don't want to spoil too much of the actual podcast, but where he's playing around with his camcorder because he always kind of had it on him. And he actually records the moment where he tells Susan that he has feelings for her. When you first saw that, what was your reaction? Because that, to me, was the most shocking part of the podcast.
So I saw a reference to that in the police record, and I was like, wait a minute. This audio exists? Like, that's a thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have to hear that, right? But we fought for more than a year to find that recording. West Valley had it as evidence, but they told us it was in Washington. So I went to Washington looking for it. The police up in Washington said, hey, look, we don't have it. Here's what we have.
Yeah.
And I had to come back to Utah and go, hey, you guys, where is it? Right?
Yeah.
And so they didn't even know they had it. And so when we finally got that recording and I sat down and listened to it, I'd read a kind of a transcript because Steve wrote about it in his journal. But I thought, what you don't get from that is Susan's tone of voice.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And like her long pregnant pauses where you can tell she's just going, oh, get me out of this moment.
And if you don't know the story, Stephen is Susan's father-in-law, and he's confessing his love to
her. And not just like, not just I have feelings for you or I think you're like, he professes that he's in love with her.
And he believes that she's in love with him.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So did they give you the tape? You sign it out? You leave like a dollar bill or your ID? And then how does that work?
So because these are on Hi-8 cassette, I mean, for, you know, the kids today, it's like, what in the world is that cassette, right? It's a little videotape. We had to find an old player, like an old camcorder that we could play back on. The first one that I went into the West Valley City Police Department to play it on, because this is old tech, it tried to eat the tape.
Oh, no.
my panic is it goes. I had to sit there and dub it in real time. And because it's evidence, you know, I couldn't check it out. So this is me sitting in West Valley City Hall, you know, with a computer and this Hi-8 camcorder and playing it. And also realizing that, you know, on these videotapes are images of, you know, Steve doing things that and so you're sitting in an open room with people walking by going
oh my gosh
looking at material that the kids use Snapchat for
exactly
this is research.
Wow.
Dave, one thing that I found fascinating with your podcast, and I want your hit on this, I don't agree with a lot of my coworkers, but I feel like Detective Ellis, they're painting him almost as a villain in the sense of a lot of people are feeling like he failed.
Yeah. A lot of people have hard feelings toward the police over how this case played out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, some of that, I think, rises from frustration we all feel.
Yeah.
Because we know he did it. Everybody knows Josh killed Susan.
I mean, from day one, I think the sense in the community was, oh, they are going to nail this guy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it didn't happen. And to have that roll out in front of your eyes day after day in the news and just go, when is it coming? When is it coming? When is it coming? And ultimately, we know, like, it never comes.
No.
And so, yeah, you know, Ellis was great to sit down and talk to me at length. I mean, we talked over the course of a year and a half. We've spent hours and hours talking about the case. And my approach to putting him on the podcast was, I'm going to let him tell it in his own words.
Mm-hmm.
And the listeners can decide what they, you know, how they think he handled the case. It's not my job to beat him up. It's not my job to defend him. My job is to tell the story as accurately as I can. So
now I feel like in Detective Ellis' defense, I feel like with the podcast, he's very honest and open and admits when he feels like he handled things wrong or how he would do things differently now with hindsight. Mm. Do you? I know that you're the storyteller. Do you have a feeling of, man, he was the problem with this case, or was it many certain issues along the way?
So my personal take on it, based in large part on the fact that he is very candid,
mm-hmm.
and that when I put hard questions to him, he never shied away from taking them head on.
Yeah.
Is, you know, look, your average police detective is not like a genius, right?
Yeah.
We have this sense that it's like, they're all like crazy, you know.
It's CSI mentality.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a guy who does his job day in, day out, does his best to do his job well.
Mm-hmm.
But how many of us are ever going to come face to face with, you know, a sociopath who doesn't respond in the way that you would expect somebody to respond?
Right.
Yeah.
So I think from day one, I mean, there were definitely mistakes that were made.
Yeah.
Well, and part of the problem, too, it sounded like, was Detective Ellis. In case you don't know, he's the lead detective on the Susan Powell case as it's rolling out. And a lot of stuff happened behind the scenes that the media just never got a hold of as it happened. But one of my major problems, I guess, with the detective was that he never wanted to be a major crimes. Like, he kind of got bullied into going into major crimes by his superiors. He wanted to just get in, be a detective for 20 years, get his pension, and get out. Like, that was, he even says that on the podcast.
Yeah, he does.
That he never wanted this, and yet he tried to do his best with it. So I guess that's kind of redeeming.
I view it very much as like he's not a I aspire to be the chief kind of guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of these career officers, they get in, they want to climb the ladder. And to be perfectly honest, the guy who says, look, I just want to get in and do the job and get out, more power to you, buddy, because that's a tough job. But you also have to step back and realize, like, even though he was the lead detective, he was not the only detective.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there was a team that was working on this. Now, the police get some criticism for maybe not reaching out to, say, like, Salt Lake City, who had a lot of experience dealing with, like, Elizabeth Smart and stuff, right?
Right.
But you know, the U.S. Marshals, the FBI were involved in this case. You know, they called on the help in one particular instance of the Secret Service. So, I mean, this was an investigation. A lot of people don't realize. I mean, it drew in a lot of resources. So it's not all on Ellis's shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that I heard recently from a detective, a police detective, was that West Valley actually put together a pretty decent circumstantial case, but the DA refused to prosecute it.
Yeah,
is that true?
Well, so it gets into some nuance there, and I think both sides will point fingers at one another,
sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we know the case was never formally screened for charges. Mm-hmm. The police department thought they had time, especially once Josh and Susan's kids, once they were up in Washington, they came into state custody as a result of some of the stuff that was happening with Josh's dad. And the thought was, hey, look, the kids are safe. Josh is kind of in a corner. We're going to put together something airtight. And they did not anticipate what he was going to do.
Josh murdered his sons, if no one knows. In studio right now, Dave Colley, who hosts Cold, the podcast, which is about Susan and Josh Powell and so much more than that. It gets into the father-in-law, Stephen, as well. I don't know the appropriate way to ask this. I'm going to try my best. You've met a lot of people who have ran into Josh over the years,
yeah.
And you've read his journals. You have heard his audio recordings. Has anyone talked about maybe Josh was on the spectrum?
I mean, people speculate.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on in Josh's head is a very interesting question. And interestingly enough, we will get to a part of the story where, because of the stuff that was happening in Washington with the kids, as he's trying to get his kids back, a judge said, you've got to go talk to a psychologist.
Oh.
And normally those kinds of records would never become public, right? But because of the death of the boys, Washington said, you know what? We're going to bring all this stuff out and release it. And so, yeah, we have very detailed notes about what this psychologist thought about Josh Powell. Diagnosed him as a narcissist.
Okay.
That's not a mystery. Yeah.
But I mean, if you look at the very clinical, right? Like, I think we all go like, yeah, this guy's narcissistic. But there are specific traits with narcissism in a psychological sense.
Mm-hmm.
As far as anything, you know, Susan for a time thought he was bipolar. Josh had a brother who was bipolar. You know, we don't have anything to support that. You know, many people have said, wow, I see similarities between Josh's behavior and maybe somebody who is, you know, autistic on the spectrum.
Right.
Right. So to speak. So but again, we don't have that in a diagnosis kind of stuff.
Okay, so no one actually diagnosed that. Jordan text saying, I love your podcast. At first, I was convinced that she, meaning Susan Powell, was in the mine shaft in the West Desert. But as I listen more, I'm starting to think that Michael took her someplace else so that Josh could say he honestly didn't know where she was. What do you think about that?
I think that's a pretty plausible way to read the situation. The episode that came out just after Christmas, you hear Ellis himself say, I don't think she's out there.
No, I've never thought that she was out there.
You don't think she's in the mine?
He drove out there. He was obviously out there. Why would he put her out there? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think that was all part of his plan. That was all part of his alibi.
If his camping trip is his alibi, it makes no sense to take Susan out there.
Right.
You have spent 3 8 years of your life poring over records, watching horrific videos of things no one wants to see. What's your takeaway after all this? What happened to Susan and where is she?
Yeah. I mean, Susan was a victim of abuse.
Yeah.
Clearly we see that, right?
Yeah.
From the get-go. For me, trying to justify the time I've spent on this, because my goal going into it, to be realistic, was, you know, I can't say I'm going out to find Susan.
Mm-hmm.
There's just smarter people than me have tried.
Oh, yeah.
And I sure hope that someday we get there, but I'm probably not going to be the person who brings us there.
Right.
But if I can share some information that helps another person avoid Susan's fate, mm-hmm. That's what drives me.
Yeah.
Right. This idea that domestic abuse is not just physical, that manipulation, control, you know, financial abuse, all these things are so pervasive. And I feel strongly that the way we deal with those issues is to drag them into the light, have discussions, right? To be able to come in and talk to you guys and talk to the listeners.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And say, hey, look, if you have a friend, if you have a family member who's going through something like this, speak up.
Yeah.
And don't let somebody suffer in silence. That to me is huge. So, you know, all the time that I've invested on this, I hope that Susan's family finds something valuable in it, that they learn, you know, some things that they didn't know. And ultimately, if we can help somebody else, that's the best.
Has her family supported you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've talked to her dad several times. Uh-huh. You know, I think just because of how difficult this subject is for them, a lot of them avoid media. But they've been very supportive.
It's just justice.
Gosh, I know that's
justice for Susan and for those boys. And I feel like this podcast kind of gives that, because we do get the whole story, and we get to know Susan, because she was just a picture on a missing person poster for so long.
The podcast is called Cold. You can get it at any of the normal places you get a podcast. So is it on Spotify?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I listen to it.
That's how you listen to it. Okay. Apple Podcasts, all of those. Just look up Cold. Dave Colley is the host. Chelsea just said the Cold podcast is amazing, so I wanted to pass that on to you.
I'm so humbled. Thank you.
Dave, congratulations on the success. You have poured so much time into this. We have a few questions we want to get to you. We got to get to commercials. So if you don't mind, we'll put them on our podcast, and we'll do that. So you can just download our podcast later today. But thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. In studio is Dave Colley. He hosts the podcast Cold, and we have so many more questions for him. And unfortunately, we would lock him in here all day long if we could. Yeah. But you asked something off air that I wanted to get on the podcast.
Yeah. So we kind of talked about how over the course of the 3 years that you've been studying these journals and these audio recordings and the horrifying videos, you got to look kind of Steve Powell right in the face and really see a truly evil person.
Not just the face, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. some below the belt situations.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that by the time a lot of us get to these stories, it's been filtered. It's been edited. It's been like, this is what is okay for the public to see. But you saw all of it.
Yeah.
How has that affected you, like, personally?
I mean, certainly there are things you can't unsee. Yeah. But more than that, I mean, the words almost more than the images. When it comes to Steve Powell, there was a depth of depravity to that man that, you know, you go home at night and you hate to think that people like that exist in this world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You would like to think that people are mostly decent and come from a good, you know, well-intentioned place. And he was not that. And it takes a personal toll, definitely. My boss and I, Cheryl Worsley, we jokingly talk about, you know, I'm going to need therapy by the time this is over. But there's maybe not a joke to that. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. And I also want to know, just because a lot, like I said, a lot of this was hidden from the public that you kind of dug through and you got to see. What was some of the more shocking stuff that you just didn't expect to find when you were going through it?
Oh, boy. You know, definitely. I think when you really start reading Steve Powell's journals and you realize this was not just an act that he was putting. I mean, he honestly believed that his daughter-in-law, who was, you know, half his age, was in love with him, or that, you know, she ran off to Brazil to, you know, live this secret life, and that she would at some point come back and be with him. Just seeing the way that he convinced himself of these things to me was, because I think we all had this sense, you know, based on the way he talked in the media and things, that it was a little off.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was creepy.
But this was more than, I mean, this was a deep seated thing.
Yeah.
Do you think
Go ahead.
I messed it up. I forgot what I was going to... Oh, do you think that Steven knew about Susan? Do you think that he knew that she was gone and where she was?
Great question. Because I think a lot of people think Steve was personally involved.
Yeah.
Right? Yes.
And it's a really interesting question. If you imagine Josh being arrested and charged with this crime and going into court as a defense attorney, all I have to do to plant that seed of reasonable doubt is point to this guy.
Absolutely.
Right? Steve Powell?
Yes.
And you're telling me Josh did? Look at this guy over here. I don't think Steve knew. I don't think he was involved just because of what I was talking about with these journals. He is so thoroughly convinced privately in his own writings that Josh had nothing to do with it.
No way.
And I think it's because he did have those feelings and he could not cope with the idea that that you know Susan wasn't around.
What about Josh's brother?
Josh's brother Michael. Yeah. I mean that relationship is one that there's a little bit of mystery even to this day about. But of course, you know, Michael ended up taking his own life about a year after Josh, and we've learned some things about his movements in the days immediately after Susan's disappearance that will come up in a future episode that suggests he was involved.
And I hate to wrap it, but we got to get back on air. So thank you, man. I appreciate
it. Yeah.
All right, Jackson, one last time. Let's do the showbiz beat.
All right. I really wanted to get to this because John is kind of a Nickelback apologist. He's a big Nickelback fan.
I'm a Nickelback fan.
Sympathizer.
Sympathizer. John doesn't like it when people are mean to Nickelback.
I don't understand why there's the hate for Nickelback the way there is.
And that's fair, but sometimes you just gotta lean into it, man. You just gotta lean into the culture, dude.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Everyone's like, oh, we gotta make fun of Nickelback. And I'm like,
well, this is how you Chad Kroeger. All right. You're hijacking the showbiz beat. That's enough of that. 5 Seconds of Summer, the lead singer Ashton Irwin told Rolling Stone magazine that the band had a really awkward writing session with Nickelback's Chad Kroeger.
This is hell. Right? You write a song.
So apparently they sat down with the guy and he ordered 12 chicken strips and a Caesar salad. It was super funny. And then at the end, he said, I feel stressed. Do you guys ever look up stuff, wink, wink, on the internet? And the guys in 5 Seconds of Summer are like, what are you talking about? So he got on YouTube and just searched hot girls dancing.
No.
And he made them sit there and watch.
Oh my
and
gosh.
So Ashton Irwin says that it's super funny because it's such a creepy dad on the internet move. I'm like, that is a dad on the internet move. Look at this
photograph. He was singing that while he was YouTubing.
Look at this photograph.
Oh, so funny. Anyway, I just felt like John needed to hear that whole story because it's a riot. Imagine Dragons lead singer Dan Reynolds tells Men's Health that his new shredded physique is a statement. It's not just to look good. He wants to embrace the spirit of rock and roll. He grew up with Iggy Pop, Mick Jagger, Freddie Mercury, people who were real showmen, and he feels like he wants to follow in those footsteps. And part of that is having a really, really nice physique. To which I say, you don't have to apologize for being hot.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to come up with a reason. You can just be hot. No one's judging you.
I don't think he's had carbs in years.
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. He is 0.0% body fat.
Someone put a bunch of shirtless photos of him up on my computers over here one
day. He's always shirtless.
Right.
Yeah. On purpose.
Oh, yeah, I remember that in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so John sits over there. He just looks at shirtless Dan Reynolds, and he feels bad about himself.
All morning long.
Ariana Grande said that, told Billboard magazine that she doesn't like people telling her what to do. And so pretty much she goes, guess what? My label wants me to just really focus on this album and really wants me to go on tour and make a lot of money. She goes, but if I feel like dropping a third album while I'm on tour in 2019, I'm going to drop a third album. Like, she just doesn't listen to anybody.
Got
she just
it.
Does what she wants to do.
Good.
Which makes sense because she's got like 4 singles out right now. And most artists don't do that.
We were talking about that, how it's hard. I'll tell you right now, with Mix, there's 2 songs that are on the Billboard top 5 that are Ariana Grande.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But you can't play that much Ariana Grande back to back to back. I mean, we do.
We're doing it.
Yeah. I mean, you can. Disney said they're kind of pinging around the idea of rebooting Pirates of the Caribbean, but they are considering not hiring Johnny Depp back, which would save them. Are you ready for this? $90 million.
They should have gotten rid of him A long time ago.
Why 90 million? Is that what? That
I think it's Johnny Depp's expensive.
He's expensive, but I also think they're considering over the course of whatever the reboots are going to be.
Okay, got it.
So, like, over, you know, let's say they reboot it for 5 years, then they're going to save $90 million.
I love the first few. My problem was, by the end, they didn't have a storyline.
Yeah.
It was just them running around.
Uh-huh. They just wanted to film, you know, funny Captain Jack Sparrow. Yeah. We've seen this 4 times already. Let's do something different.
The Daily Express claims that 2 actresses have already been tapped as the lead female in the reboot. Those actresses are Emma Stone and Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, Emma Stone would be a great pirate.
Emma Stone would be fantastic. That is a showbiz beat.
All right. Thank you, Jackson. Over New Year's Eve, Tiffany Haddish. You guys know who Tiffany Haddish is?
Yeah, I like her.
She's the actress. She's also a stand-up comedian. I think a lot of people know her more for movies than comedy.
Allegedly a stand-up comedian.
Right. Yeah. She was actually doing stand-up on New Year's Eve, and she was bombing. She was bombing big. In fact, she was forgetting jokes, dropping lines.
Oh, no. That's the worst.
So and it was a big crowd. People started leaving. Like mid-show. In fact, over half the audience left while she was up there doing the stand-up because that's how bad it was.
Oh.
To the point where she shut the show down and just started pouring drinks and like sat down with the audience and started having, and like, I bombed. Oh, well.
Yeah.
But it got me thinking because my mom is notorious for leaving shows. Mm-hmm. If she's not into it, she'll get up and leave. Like, I'm not just talking movies. Like, if she's at a play, and it hits intermission, she's not coming back for the second part if she's not into it.
I refuse to do it with a play.
Yes.
And a musical theater.
Good to hear.
I feel like you kind of owe it to somebody who's performing for you to at least sit through it.
And amen.
Hang in there with them, you know?
Okay, hold on. So let me get this straight. What you're saying is, I take my hard-earned American dollars.
Yes.
I spend it to be entertained.
Yes.
And I'm not being entertained, so now I'm sitting to be tortured.
Yes.
And I'm required to do that because some doofus didn't go to college and decided to to act instead.
I was over at the Black Box Theater over at Rose Wagner years ago. My wife and I went, we just bought tickets to see a play. We're like, oh, we'll go see live theater. We'll be cultured. And it was the weirdest play of my life. They were all wearing like skin tight like onesies, you know, those Halloween costumes that are like all the same color and they're like roaming around. And I had one guy like almost like thrusting at me wearing this. I still came back after intermission, although half the audience had left.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, no, we paid the ticket. We're not leaving.
This is art.
Yes, it is art.
Learn something.
Yes.
No. Listen, every time something is bad, someone's like, well, it's just art, I guess. No, it's bad. If it's bad, it's bad. It doesn't matter.
Have you ever walked out on a movie or a live show?
Oh, yeah.
I want to call you out, though, John Watkins.
Why?
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
What did I walk out on?
Avengers Infinity War.
I had to go pick up my buddy from the hospital.
No, I don't care. You left.
Yeah, excuse you. That's
you
different.
You left in the most important part of the movie.
I know. Right before the end.
I was looking back at you like, what
I know.
Are you doing?
Yeah, that's actually like one of the only times I think I've ever... Now, concerts are a different story. I will leave a concert 3 songs in.
Oh, yeah. You just leave early enough where it looks like you're going to the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh, I'll be right back, and then you'll never see me again. But I feel like movies, I never like to leave a movie. I even sat through The Postman.
I hate leaving movies because they're so expensive, but I'll do it. I walked right out of The Greatest Showman. Couldn't handle it.
You didn't finish The Greatest Showman?
Oh, no. It was bad. It was a bad movie.
It was not a bad...
I'm going to get hate for this on text messages, and I don't care. It was a it was a stupid movie. It made a Disney character out of a really terrible man. P.T. Barnum was a monster, first of all. And second of all, it was just not a good movie. The music was fine.
I wasn't that entertained with it either.
Did you walk out on it?
No, we rented it. But I just couldn't hold my attention.
This text says, the only movie I've ever walked out of was Catwoman. I only made it 20 minutes into the movie.
Oh.
That was a pretty bad one.
Yeah, it was.
Baxter says, the first time I walked out of a movie was Fantasia when I was a kid. It was so boring.
Fantasia's boring.
It's so boring.
It's bad.
Yeah.
So boring.
I went to Wise Guys and saw someone do stand-up. And I'm not going to say who it was, but I saw a few people check out. The guy was dropping a lot of like F-bombs. And I think people went there not knowing that maybe this person's TV persona was so different up on stage.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, that's jarring for me. Never mind. I'm gonna leave.
Not only jarring, but sometimes they just overdo it.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, okay, the shock factor's gone.
Well, now, hold on. In that person's defense, You put on a different persona for each environment that you're in.
Yeah.
I have been told many times, like, oh, you curse more than I thought you would in real life.
No. What did you walk out in? Was there a movie or a show that you just left before it ended? We want to hear from you. You can give us a call or send us a text. Hi, Mix. Who's this?
This is Allie.
Hey, Allie. Did you walk out of a movie or a show?
No, but I wanted to chime in on the hate for The Greatest Showman.
Oh, my gosh.
I knew this was coming. Lay it on me, lady.
That did the singing was actually a great person, and they made her look like the biggest sleazebag in that movie.
Are you talking about the one who sang Never
the
Enough?
The Swedish singer.
Yeah. She's like a Swedish hero.
She was a great person in real life. She donated to a bunch of charities, and they never had any kind of romantic relationship. Like, I did not like that movie either. So, Jackson, you're not the only one.
Thank you so much. I thought I was going to have to defend myself when you called in. Because people in the state are obsessed with that movie, and I don't get it.
It's a good movie. It's
not a good movie.
It's lighthearted. It's delightful. I don't know. I like the music in it.
I feel like John's making stuff up right
now.
Okay.
The movie was bad.
Thank you.
Allie, have a great day, okay?
You're welcome. You too, bye.
Beth says, the terrible movie, The Space Between Us. My husband and I used to go to pre-screenings, and the only reason we stayed was so that he could write a scathing review.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Which one is The Space Between Us? Is that a newer one, an old one? It must have been bad enough to the three of us, none of us know.
Can I tell you,
yeah,
for this podcast today, we're going to do our podcast extra that we always do, so just search for The Mixed Morning Fix.
Right.
Or text podcast to 844-649-1051. But I am going to read you the review that I wrote of Fantastic Four, the remake with Kate Mara. I was so offended by that movie. It was the worst movie I've ever seen.
It's really terrible. Hi, Mix. Who's this?
It's Emily.
Hey, Emily. What movie did you walk out on, or what TV show or a live show?
I walked out of a show in Vegas, actually. It was Chris Angel Magic Show.
What? Really?
Yes. It is the most ridiculous. He tries far too hard. It is cheesy, and it was so not worth the money.
It looks like she just broke your heart, John.
Well, it's magic, so I'm always into the magic. Now, I've never seen Chris Angel. Is he trying to be cool? Is that the problem?
Yes. He tries way too hard.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, you could see the strings attached to things.
No. Really?
No.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was horrible. So my friend and I, we just said, well, that was a waste of our money. Now let's go find, you know, we just bought Strip or something instead.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Hey, have a great day. Thanks for the call.
You too.
Wendy says, morning, guys. One time my husband and I walked out from a Zed concert because we were both dressed casual, and it turned out it was a rave and people were all half naked. Yeah.
Yeah. That's on brand.
We don't belong here. Right, I thought it was Fred. They said Fred, not Zed.
I went to New York with my high school theater the summer of senior year, and we collectively walked out of Phantom of the Opera. All 40 of us, middle of the first act, led by my theater teacher, who was normally such a stickler. It was so bad, the actors seemed like they were just trying to finish, that we didn't wait till the intermission.
Oh, ouch.
That's on Broadway, too.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah. Opera's boring, though. I'll be the
Phantom
first.
Phantom of the Opera's not, first of all, not even. It's fantastic. It's one of my favorite musicals that's
okay,
out there.
Okay, I won't say anything.
Yeah,
else.
Exactly. You better watch yourself.
I just, like, I think Andrew Lloyd Webber is a plague to America.
Don't. Don't go there.
You're going to say the same thing about Cats.
What's that?
You're going to say the same thing about Cats.
Oh, then? Cats was bad. Oh, I'm sorry. You mean to tell me that everyone in America is wrong? Everyone thinks Cats is bad. Everyone knows Cats is bad, not thinks.
So Monroe cheated on her diet. We'll be talking about that next. Mix 105.1. Monroe.
I know.
We're on the third day of January, and you already bailed on your diet?
Listen, yeah? I just had lemon rice.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
Well, it's carbs, though.
Ugh.
So on my,
you people.
On my diet, I'm only allowed green vegetables and meat.
Okay, got it.
And yesterday, the girls at work were like, hey, let's go to lunch.
Right.
Let's go get Greek food. And I was like, okay, I'll get a kebab.
Yeah, you get some lamb.
Yeah. But then I was there and the tzatziki sauce.
Now, let me ask you this.
Sticky sauce.
Rice.
Yeah, it's good. Did you just have like a bite of the rice?
Well, that was my intention. That was my intention. But yeah, right. I ended up, I ate the whole bowl.
Oh.
Yep. I went there.
Okay.
And so then, because I cheated, you know, I'd gone that far.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Noach also had a bag of French fries with the Greek fry sauce. Gosh, they mix it up so yes. good, don't they?
They really do. So you ate fries also?
Yeah, I was like, let me just have one fry. Right. She's like, oh yeah, I'm not going to eat them. Yeah. You know, go ahead. And so then we're sitting there talking, and before you know it, I'm like, there's two fries left. I have to stop now.
No.
I know. So then.
No, don't give me an anecdote.
Yeah, I love Amen.
So then I went home and I was like, yeah, you know, we're just going to have to chop it up, do a big loss today. So finished off the Christmas cookies.
Okay.
Because we had to get rid of those,
well,
right?
That's, yeah.
You can't just put them in the garbage.
No, you're doing your part on that one.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. Eliminating food waste.
Right.
It's a big issue.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we also had leftover ice cream and some hot fudge. So
at that point, you might as well just finish the day right.
Yeah. So I figured, you know, today's a new day.
Okay.
We'll start it off right.
Remember, it's not a diet. It's a lifestyle change.
Oh, please.
And
save it.
It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
No.
Also, you're going to trip. And that's the thing I think people are like, the problem with diets is that you make a little mistake and then you kind of give it up forever because you're just like, this is too hard. I'm done.
Yeah, but I would have said Monroe tripped on the rice, then fell downhill on the fries.
But it doesn't matter. Like, you're fine. Like, that's one day out of 365 new days.
Excuse me. I will not diet for 365 days. I'm in this. Until I lose the weight, and then I'm going to eat my way back to where I was when I started, and then I'm going to do it all over
again. And that's your right as an American.
Yes, now, right.
Let me ask, because we're getting to know Monroe, obviously. Like, are you just a constant dieter where we're always going to hear, like, the new diet trend that you're...
No, I don't like trendy diets. Okay. I'm not a big, like keto. Mm-hmm. I have a problem with keto.
Yeah.
I like eating bacon and cheese. Uh-huh. It just feels so right. Putting butter in my coffee.
Right.
I'm like, this is not a diet.
Okay. I do have a list of the best diets overall. They came out with it because a lot of people at this time of year are doing the resolutions and trying to lose the weight. Number three is the Flexitarian diet.
Ooh, what's that?
I'm sorry.
I was actually looking at Jackson, hoping he might know what the Flexitarian diet is.
I don't know what that is.
You've never heard of that one?
Uh-uh.
It's where you flex before you
eat. I was going to say.
That's not true.
Yeah,
is it John Watkins asking you where the beach is every time you walk past him in the hallway?
It's over there. Have you seen the beach? It's over there.
It encourages mostly plant-based foods while allowing meat and other animal products in moderation. So it's a little more flexible than a vegetarian or vegan diet. Is the idea of it.
So basically, it's eating like a normal human being.
Just seems like eating clean.
Or just eating.
They have like foods to eat and like 1 week, like, hey, you get this once a week or whatever. And so it's flexible in the sense of you can have your fat, I don't know, once. Number two is the DASH diet. I've been told to get on this for years. I have the high blood pressure.
You have high blood pressure?
Oh, yeah. Oh, his heart is a ticking time bomb.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to call an ambulance at some point for him.
If you haven't learned CPR, if you don't mind doing that for me, that'd
real
be
quick.
Fantastic. The DASH diet is a dietary pattern promoted by the U.S.-based National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute to prevent and control hypertension. They pretty much take all the flavor out of food. That's the idea of the DASH diet.
Any diet, though.
Number one, though, which is actually my favorite as well, the Mediterranean diet.
Go on.
Okay. That's the one where
sounds like it has rice and pitas in it, and I'm on board.
No, you can't eat anything white, pretty much, right? Is that one? Where, like, no sugar, starch?
No, I wouldn't call it. Well, I guess in a
way. I'm thinking of South Beach.
Yeah, the Mediterranean diet is really just based on the foods that people ate in Italy and Greece from the...
If it's 100% pasta and sauce, I am on board.
They say that the Mediterranean diet can cause weight loss and help prevent heart attacks, strokes, and type 2 diabetes.
I'm looking it up.
Nice. There's no one right way to follow it. Many countries around the Mediterranean Sea have different styles, but they've just looked at like the history and they go, wow, everyone over here is really healthy. Why don't we just eat how it's mainly like food and like fish and veggies.
Yeah. Oh. I won't do fish. I'd rather lick the carpet in this gross studio than eat a fillet of fish. I can't think of anything more disgusting than fish.
All right, so good luck in 2019.
Thank you.
I got two love stories. You guys want to hear some love stories?
Oh.
I mentioned earlier 42 days until Valentine's Day.
Ugh.
Listen, I get it. I get it. I will never forget when I was single. I was walking through, I was walking downtown or something. There was some kind of event. And I saw like all these couples walking together and holding hands. And I got so angry. Like with each one I passed, I was like,
really?
You guys are so disgusting.
Oh, I'm not bitter about happy couples or love or anything. What I'm bitter about is people asking me, are you ever going to date? And me having to tell them no. And them asking me, well, aren't you unhappy single? I'm like, no, I'm very happy and I have a very fulfilling life. Thank you. You're going to find someone on Sunday. I mentioned that Tinder, the best day to match someone of the year is coming up this Sunday at 9:30 p.m.
Yeah, it's like the Super Bowl for single people.
Yeah, so I can't wait on Monday to hear what happens.
I want to do the mom and dad thing, though, where we kind of have to approve. Like, okay,
oh, no,
we like this one. Yeah. You should go out with this guy.
All right, here's my first story. Global News is claiming a Canadian woman, her name is Margaret, she lost $140,000 in 2018 to a Match.com scammer.
What is a love story about that? Like,
oh, it's not a love story?
No.
Bruce Allen claimed to live in Maryland. He romanced Margaret with poems and told her that he loved her. Bruce then asked Margaret for $12,000 after claiming he had been arrested in India and needed money to bribe officials. She sent him the cash.
Well,
to bribe officials.
Over the course of the year, Margaret sent Bruce an additional $140,000 before realizing, hey, I've been scammed.
I kind of don't feel bad for her.
She had already sold her car to help pay for bills to help pay him.
Yeah, sorry, honey. You fell for it. You got yourself in that dish, though.
It doesn't say how old she is. I know. I'd love to know.
Because I just, like, here's the thing. I feel really bad for older people because as you get older, loneliness becomes a real problem. Like right now I'm cool with being single because like I have my friends and I have my coworkers and like I lead a really fulfilling life. I'm really happy with what I do. But I can imagine as you get older and your circle of friends starts to tighten and like you're maybe retired so you're not going into work, how loneliness is terrifying.
Yeah.
And it hurt, like if loneliness physically hurts your body.
I will tell you right now, after her husband's death, Margaret, age 75, said that she was lonely and joined the dating site.
Oh.
I had to look at another site because the one I had did not give that information.
See, that sucks. That's so sad. It's not, and it's not her fault and it's not fair.
All right, you want a more positive love story?
Yes.
Sarah Edwards of Kent, England, recently married her husband, Paul, on their first date.
Aw.
The couple got matched on a dating app before talking for 3 days. Then they said, hey, why don't we go meet at the airport? Where they flew to Vegas, where they tied the knot on their first date.
They flew to Vegas on their first date?
That's pretty cool.
Sarah says the first time she kissed Paul was at their wedding.
Okay, so 4 months from now, we're going to hear about the story where she had to sell her car to pay for his whatever.
He's going to murder her, right?
She's just going to get scammed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a Bundy-esque serial killer if I've ever heard one.
That's how I feel. And Monroe bought her son a bunch of Legos, but instead of letting her son actually do the Lego sets, she's just been doing them herself.
Have you ever played with Legos?
Yeah.
Okay, I really like puzzles. Okay, I like to sit down and like listen to podcasts or whatever and do puzzles. Legos are so much cooler than puzzles.
My son's really into Legos, Liam, who's 7, and I love sitting with him. But the problem is now he won't let me help. All I can do is find the pieces for him, which is not as fun.
Yeah, see, my kids are still young.
Yeah.
I'm still like the bigger, badder beast.
Right.
So I was just like, no. You find the pieces, okay? You look and find these right here. And I'll put them on. And then I would let them take a turn and put them on. And they wouldn't do it fast enough. So then I'd just grab it and put it on for them anyway.
Do you get the big sets? Like the $200 Lego?
I think I'm ready for the $3,000 Death Star.
Oh.
Okay. Well, let's not get crazy.
I mean, that would be my happy place.
I'll tell you this. I priced out with SantaBot, Liam, some of those Lego sets. And they were like $70 for each of those boxes.
That's why I never played with Legos when I was a kid.
Yeah.
They're too expensive, and my family was poor.
Yeah.
We didn't have Legos. We had like Mega Blocks.
Yeah.
Like Mega Blocks, because you could get them for like a quarter of the price of a Lego.
You just you couldn't follow any instructions because there was your imagination.
No. And they almost definitely didn't clip together most of the time because they were not great.
A mansion in Bel Air, California is up for sale for $188 million.
Ooh.
That's a lot of dollars.
That's some cash.
Why?
Go on.
Well, I guess they wanted to move into something bigger.
What?
I'm sorry.
It's a 12-bedroom home. It does have a helicopter landing pad, if you've been wanting
but
that.
But not a helicopter?
Oh, not a helicopter. It has a car museum, but I don't believe the cars come with it.
Just a museum.
Isn't that called a garage?
Yeah. Right? Unless they have displays set up, in which case I could set up my own display. So instead of being cars, it would be like, here are all of Aretha Franklin's looks.
Right.
That's what I would be into.
I would do cardboard cutouts.
It has a pool, a wine cellar, a bar, a lounge, a spa. By spa, do they mean like a hot tub, or do they mean like an actual like spa where you could go there and get a massage from someone?
Mm. No, I bet. Well, I bet they have like a massage table, like a pedicure chair.
It's like all in there.
Yeah.
They have a gym. They have a home theater, a candy room.
I'm Ooh. Sorry, like Willy Wonka.
Here's my guess that it's like a box office for the movie theater where you can buy candy. And I remember seeing that in Cribs once.
I'm sorry. That exists?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was in an episode of Cribs where, like, I can't remember whose house it was, but they had, like, you walked into the movie theater room, but they had, like, a concession stand first that you can Ooh. Grab movie theater candy. So I
would lock my kids out of that room, but I would go there every day.
It has 10 guest suites on top of the 12 bedrooms? Or is that part of the 12-bedroom home?
I bet it's...
It's $188 million. So are you telling me there's 22 bedrooms in all?
No. It has to be.
Yeah?
For $188 million?
It has a bowling alley, and not just one, but 5 bars, so you could get drunk wherever you are.
No.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Can you imagine cleaning that house, though?
Oh, if you have that kind of house, you have a staff cleaning your house.
I would assume someone lives there, like a Mr. Belvedere type.
Yeah, it would have to be. I just imagine my poor self, just as a mom, like walking around like, you guys, yeah, you have to pick up your sock because we won't find that for 2 months.
Jackson, do you have any idea who Mr. Belvedere?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't.
Okay.
Really?
I'm young. Oh.
She said she's going to release an album on top of an album and no one can tell her otherwise. Ariana Grande, Mix 105.1. Here's my thing. I feel like she should just listen to the machine. I know she's successful
what?
Now, but if she wants longevity, I have a fear.
How dare you?
No, I'm telling you. I don't feel like Ariana Grande. I think that she needs to be smart about when she releases stuff because she might release it all now and then never have another success.
Yeah,
you don't
but
know.
The girl's also like a hit factory, though. Like
she is right now.
She has. Well, but even when she was on, you know, Nickelodeon, like
right.
she's had a pretty decent career up to this point, but she's only 24.
She's had a great career.
I know that some artists have made mistakes, like
yeah.
Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson's
for example.
A great example.
Like she, mm-hmm. but she didn't have a good album. Ariana Grande, I feel like, is making correct decisions. Like she's making smart decisions and better decisions than the machine.
Also, though, it's different now. The machine doesn't have the power it used to. It's more like a horse and buggy.
Uh-huh. I will say this about Ariana Grande and decisions: Pete Davidson.
Whoa! 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 She made the decision to break up with him.
She did.
And then she made a bunch of money off of singing a song about him. So how's that for decisions?
Yeah.
Hey, before I head on out, we were talking earlier this morning if you have ever walked out on a movie or a show, mm-hmm. because a lot of people walked out on Tiffany Haddish's stand-up show. And like the texts keep coming in. This text says, I walked out on Avatar with the blue people.
What?
That was a good one.
It was the last time I went to the movies.
That was so good.
That was the last time you've been to a movie? That was like 10 years ago.
It was a while ago. Yeah.
Go to the movies right now. Drop what you're doing and go see a movie.
Steven says, I would quit carbs, but I'm not a quitter.
yeah.
Stephanie says, Valerian, worst movie. 15 minutes in, I walked out and asked if we could get our money back. It was so bad. I watched it.
And
it's terrible.
What is Valerian?
It's the one with Cara Delevingne. Yeah. I don't like her either. I don't like her attitude. She's got a big attitude.
Does
for
she?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know enough about her. The movie itself is like, it looks beautiful. It's like the sci-fi film, but it's confusing. The script is kind of all over the place. It took me a few days to get through it. I just had it on like Amazon or something, but I finished it because I'm not a quitter.
That's not true. John Watkins, quitter. What are you talking about?
Hannah says, I have season tickets to the Utes. We left one game early when they were losing. Fourth quarter, 2 minutes left. By the time we got to tracks, they had crawled back to win the game. Never left a game early again.
Oh, that's the worst. Yeah. I felt that way about the Super Bowl when the Patriots made that big comeback.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like a lot of people probably walked out on that
Bailed.
Game. And then I missed it.
This says, the only movie I ever walked out of was The Dark Knight. We had been excited to watch it, but it turned out that it sucked.
Excuse you.
We immediately went into Kung Fu Panda instead.
Oh, that's fine.
I've never regretted it.
Really? I love The Dark Knight. I think that's my favorite superhero movie of all time.
The first one was great.
Dark Knight Rises was kind of lame. I will say it's boring. I don't want to see a frozen city. I want to see Batman beat people up.
Which is the one with the Joker? Was that the original Dark Knight?
That's the Dark Knight.
That's Dark Knight. Yeah. Okay.
And it's awesome.
That one's fantastic.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
And the fact that you don't think so means that there's something wrong with you.
And you like Kung Fu Panda
more. Whoa, don't talk badly about Kung Fu Panda. Kung Fu Panda's great.
Listen, Poe's okay.
Poe is great.
Poe's
a better... I like Poe more as a superhero than I like Batman.
Well,
that's for sure.
Okay. We're just not going to be friends for the rest of the day.
Right? All right, let's do it. Here's our stories for our podcast. Thanks for listening today. We do appreciate it. The losers were Jackson and I, and I just realized I think I threw my paper away. So do you want to
go first? I can do mine real quick. Yeah. So if you're new to the show, something you need to know about me is that I love the Southern diner chain Waffle House. If you've never been to a Waffle House, let me tell you, you are doing everything wrong.
Uh-huh.
It's delicious. Everyone wants to compare it to Denny's. It's not like Denny's. It's way dirtier, and it's way more delicious.
It is way dirtier.
I've never been into a clean Waffle House. It's dirty, and that's what makes it so good. It's part of its charm.
And really, you got to go there between midnight and 4 a.m.
Yeah. So, needless to say, some very interesting things have happened at Waffle Houses. One time I was at a Waffle House in South Carolina, and the police just came in and started arresting a guy in the Waffle House. It was awesome. I was there at like 10 p.m.
Oh my God. Free show.
Yeah, it was great. Anyway, well, cops in Hillsborough County, Florida had a really interesting encounter at a Waffle House. They were not arresting anyone. They were capturing a 5-foot alligator that had managed to get loose in the Waffle House.
He was hungry.
Waffle House?
Yeah. He knows how great their jalapeno biscuits are. So he wandered in from the swamp to the Waffle House.
Wow.
I just imagine him wanting to eat the people that were marinating in the syrup.
Right.
While they were eating there.
Well, because they'd be a sweet and tasty treat.
Yeah, free toppings.
So deputies show up to capture the gator that had gotten into the Waffle House.
Sure.
And they do this by throwing a blanket on his head. And then the story says this, and it's my favorite part of the story. The gator then led the police on a slow speed foot chase with a blanket over his head.
Oh my gosh. Stop.
Bob, so grab it. Are you grabbing it? No. Chris, I'm grabbing it.
This gator's running around like Sandra Bullock in Bird Box. and still is able to evade police. Eventually, a deputy jumped on the gator's back and taped its mouth and its legs. The reptile was relocated and put into a swamp, so they didn't put him down, which is usually what happens in those situations, and it's always a bummer. So, gator busted into a Waffle House.
Oh my gosh, that is the best story.
Wanted some jalapeno cheddar biscuits.
Other gators are like, what are you in for?
He goes to gator jail. Oh, their handcuffs would be so small.
Oh my God.
All right, I guess it just started. Girl Scouts and their Girl Scout cookies. They just revealed their 2019 cookie lineup. I did not realize they did a press announcement for something like this. But
world news, dog.
They have the classics like Thin Mints, Samoas, Trefoils.
Trefoils. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's how you say it.
Is it?
I always say trefoils, but I know it's wrong.
Okay. I only know Thin Mints.
Okay.
They have a new one. It's called Caramel Chocolate Chip. The new cookie is gluten-free.
I was just about to ask you if it was gluten-free because that's all the rage right now.
It starts with a melt-in-your-mouth batter that has semi-sweet chocolate chips and caramel flavor that is baked and topped with a sprinkling of sea salt.
Mmm, yeah.
The way you read it, though.
It helps?
No.
I want to eat those cookies and have John read the description to me at the same time. Sounds really, really sexy.
I guess that Girl Scout cookie season officially starts today.
Yeah, I'm down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I cheated on my diet yesterday.
Yeah, you can't.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. But we can do it. We're fine.
We'll be okay.
Don't worry about
it. It's
us.
Like whatever.
Yeah, we'll be good. No. Do you have your review up that you wanted to read?
I do. So Keep in mind, I don't like superhero movies. They're just not my jam. It's fine. But what really did me in was Fantastic Four. Right. I got dragged to Fantastic Four by my friends who said, even if it's bad, it'll be a good time. So here's my review of Fantastic Four.
Okay.
When I was younger, I went on a camping trip to Lava Hot Springs, Idaho with my family. One day we were floating down the river on tubes and a strange man asked my mother, "Hey, have you ever seen Free Willy?" My mother responds, of course I have. And he goes, "Do you want to see it again?" And then he proceeded to pull down his pants, exposing his junk.
Wait, in front of you?
Oh, yeah. That whole situation was less offensive than the new Fantastic Four movie.
Oh my gosh.
What an absolute piece of garbage. Never in my life have I been forced to endure such torture. Marvel has officially taken a frothy poo on every person who watches it. I wouldn't wish that experience upon even my worst enemy. If I have ever in a coma, play this film on a loop in my hospital room because I will certainly stand up and turn it off. To anyone who had any part in making this trash, I wish you ill. I hope you break out in rashes and boils, lose your teeth, and I hope your credit drops by 300 points. You have made American cinema goers dumber. That is my review of the Fantastic Four movie.
So, like,
it was
two
okay.
Stars?
I swear I remember us talking right before break about this Fantastic Four movie as
it
well.
It has come up several times. Right? And every time, because everyone's always like, oh, what's the worst movie you've ever seen? Fantastic Four.
Got it.
Okay. Every time it's Fantastic Four.
That was the one with Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan? Yeah. Yes. I'm offended that he did something that bad.
Yeah.
Miles Teller?
Yeah, Miles Teller.
Oh, yeah. I never saw that version. I remember just the Jessica Alba version. And
which
that
was
bad.
Not great, but it was right. Fun.
I enjoyed that one.
Yeah,
you did?
It was fine.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Nah.
21st Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Nah, yeah, but that was...
As the Human Torch.
No.
That was before.
They let him be another superhero after that. Can you believe it?
They've let Ryan Reynolds be three different superheroes.
Three?
Yeah.
Well yeah, because he was...
Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then Deadpool the first time in X-Men Origin, which was bad.
Right.
Bad, bad, bad.
Yep.
You know what? It's 20th Century and 21st Century Fox. They can't do superhero movies. They're bad at them. And then they finally came out with Deadpool, and they were like, finally, we hit gold with this.
I feel like the X-Men one is good.
Did you know I've never seen an X-Men movie all the way through?
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Hey, do us a favor. Will you go back and just do a review? Just anything. Give us 5 stars. Write a few sentences. Like that means the world to us. And also, it makes a difference in our podcast numbers, which is the big thing. So we'll have a brand new episode for you tomorrow with a Fiancé Friday. Bye-bye.